his introduction more than I'm going to, because it's more interesting than I anticipated. Gary joined CDC and in 1998 and is currently chief of the Immunization Information System and Support Branch in NCIRD. He received his Bachelor of Science degree in Microbiology and Pathology from Colorado State University and a Master's of Public Health in Health Administration and Planning from the University of Hawaii. His work experience includes international experience with WHO on smallpox eradication and immunization activities in developing countries. He has also worked as a consultant for the Johns Hopkins University and USAID, doing in-country evaluations of child survival programs in Haiti, Uganda, Kenya, Sudan, Yemen, the Solomon Islands, and Bangladesh. Prior to joining CDC, Gary served as the Deputy Commissioner of Health for the Onondaga County Health Department in Syracuse, New York. Please welcome Gary Urquhart.
Well, thanks for that. I got to make that briefer so you don't have to struggle so much with all that stuff. But anyhow, thanks for giving me the opportunity to discuss immunization information systems and how we can enhance the immunization program with stronger immunization systems, information systems. Where's the? Which one is that? Right.
Sometimes the arrows are
right. Yeah. Okay. But before I get started with talking about immunization information systems and their status and where we intend to go with them, I wanted to recognize a few people or activities for recent achievements. And for starters, it's the Task Force on Community and Preventive Services for Immunization Information Systems Review, which after about 2 years of effort, they produced some recommendations in June of 2010 to address that really addressed research questions about our IAS is effective in increasing appropriate vaccinations or reducing vaccine-preventable diseases in the population, and do IASs effectively support other public health activities or interventions. In June of 2010, evidence is considered strong based on the activities based on the findings from 71 published papers and 123 conference abstracts showing that IASs are directly related to increasing vaccination rates and reducing vaccine-preventable disease through their capabilities to create and support effective interventions such as client reminder and recall, generate and evaluate public health responses to outbreaks, facilitate vaccine management and accountability, determine client vaccination status, aid surveillance investigations on vaccination rates, etc. And in particular, Holly Groom and her colleagues were responsible for this, so I'd really like to acknowledge with thanks their efforts to work on this and produce this exceptional report, which will be published in, I think, by the end of the year. And also, and certainly not least, okay, very good. And also, I wanted to recognize the Wisconsin Immunization Registry because they won the Davies Public Health Award. The Davies Public Health Award is given by the Healthcare Information and Management Systems Society, or also known as HIMSS. And they noted that Wisconsin Immunization Registry has demonstrated excellence in their systems, development, population health impact, and their open source philosophy. 16 states now use WIRS modules, and as a result are well positioned to exchange immunization registry data with hospitals and eligible providers as part of meaningful use menu option. All of us on the committee congratulate the Wisconsin Immunization Registry for their dedication and commitment to public health and the receipt of the HIMSS-Davies Public Health Award. So Dan Hopsenberger and Tom Mayers and his colleagues also deserve some recognition for their efforts. Thank you. And then finally, since Alan Hinman is in the front row, and I have to be careful because he might have his orange pencil or whatever, but I want to acknowledge his support and encouragement, endless encouragement, over the past 10 years and all those trips in the middle of Kansas and Virginia and Helena, Montana. Alan was the navigator and never failed to tell me where to go. Thank you, Alan. All right, so we have to look at where we've been over the past decade, and you've seen these slides before. I wanted to show them again just to show that we've doubled, basically, our participation rate for children under six. We're at 77% as of the end of 2009. I expect it's probably over 80% for 2010. We increased the number of children who were adolescents, 11 to 18 years old, by 46%. That's what the participation rate was at the end of 2009. 13% of adults participate in registries, and 33% of our U.S. population, 88, almost 90 million people in the United States participate in registry. So a decade of progress here has resulted in almost really significant participation rates for people participating in a registry. And I'm fond of saying that if you don't have participation, you don't have data. If you don't have data, you can't support the immunization program. So one of Urquhart's famous maps, and I'm reminded the first time I did this, back in 2000, I think, Bob Swanson forgot to send me his annual report. And he ended up as being a white state on Urquhart's map, and he immediately got a call from his director of health saying what was going on, so I got a call. Never happened again. Provider participation has also improved, doubled, in fact, since the year 2000. We're now at 80% of participation for public provider sites and 38% for private provider sites. Really significant improvements, but much more needs to be done. About 10 years ago, NVAC recommended 12 functional standards. This graph represents those functional standards and how what percent of completeness by all grantees as of the end of 2000 currently exists. As you'll notice, about seven of these are just fine. They've made really good improvements in completion. But these four in particular are problems, and they mostly relate to core data elements. The lack of information about lot numbers and vaccine manufacturers are really problematic as we go forward with VTRAX and other vaccine management systems. Another two functional standards that we haven't been doing very well have to do with timeliness, and those have to do with establishing a record after birth and in getting immunization data into the registry within 30 days. And also, we're only about 60% when it comes to achieving interoperability. Now, some of these things are not within our control. They have to do with the data sources or the lack of HL7 on the EHR side of things, but those are really changing very rapidly in the next few years. I see I have no time left. Excellent. I'm already behind. Well, just to illustrate further that lot number has really remained pretty constant over the years, and again, only at about 40% as of the end of 2009. This isn't going to cut it. We need to very much improve this information, and we think we have some solutions for that. HL7 messaging, as I said, is only at about 60%. This map reflects who's got it in place now and who doesn't. A number of these states that are gray now have the high-tech grant, and we'll be addressing these issues. I wanted to note also that the Sentinel sites have been around for about 10 years now, and of significance, it's important to note that for publications and presentations, Sentinel sites contributed about 30% of the U.S. literature considered by the community guide that I talked about earlier. So lots of publications, lots of efforts on the part of our grantees participating in Sentinel sites to produce data and publications. The Sentinel sites have also played a key role in the implementation and testing of MIRAL guidelines, and these are best practice guidelines, and they cover such things as data quality, moved or gone elsewhere, or MOGI, vaccine level deduplication, and so on. They also, perhaps the most important of all of these, advance the use of IS data for public health decision making. And they do that through investigations of vaccine uptake, sometimes the only data available in relatively short order around HPV or HIB shortage and so on. Those Sentinel sites have played a key role in gathering information about those activities. VTRAX. Registry involvement in VTRAX is, well, let's see, relatively recent per se, although we've had longstanding interest. I think our community has had longstanding interest in vaccine ordering and vaccine management. Its role in VTRAX has been relatively recent. And about 2 years ago, I think now, the requirements documents were developed by a grantee advisory committee. Interface specifications have been developed. And so we thought we were in pretty good shape to get involved. It took a little longer than that, but in last December, we had a couple of pilot sites. Michigan and Washington did a terrific job at demonstrating that registries could actually not only participate in VTRACS, but do it exceptionally well. These are orders placed in the month of December compared to other pilot sites that weren't using their registry. Way to go, Washington and Michigan. So despite a decade of progress, we've also had some continuing challenges. And one of the things that we all need to remember is that our mission is to support the immunization program and its policies. That's what registries are about. We also are tasked with improving the participation of all age groups, not just children. We've done pretty good with children, but we also need to pay attention to adolescents and adults now, too. We also need to improve accountability. Accountability around the use of vaccines, accountability around the implementation of registries and other aspects of immunization program activity. We also need, as I showed you earlier, to improve data quality, in particular completeness, accuracy, and timeliness of immunization information system data. Without those improvements, our credibility when it comes to coverage assessment is not there. We also, of course, need to enhance and achieve interoperability. Interoperability improves the messages that come from EHRs and other sources to the registry. They address the completeness and data quality issues also. We also, of course, as you've heard from Jessica Kahn, need to support national HIT initiatives. Those include working with HIEs, RIOs, with state CMS and national CMS activities when they are discussing meaningful use. So a couple of ideas as we move forward about enhancing data quality. We're going to continue and perhaps even expand some of the Sentinel Sites project activities. We are also in the branch establishing a new team on evaluation in which the Sentinel Site project as well as a few other projects will reside. We think that that will improve the focus that we put on evaluation of activities and publications. We're going to continue working on the Miro project. I think the next project that Miro is going to work on is vaccine ordering. Is that right, Warren? Yeah. And we'll continue to do coverage assessments and monitor vaccine uptakes as we move forward, perhaps with some streamlined activities to get our data to press a little earlier. So some new directions, perhaps, for Sentinel Sites. Again, I mentioned Miro. That has to do with the knowledge of best practices, more communication with the community, address gaps in the IS literature identified by the community guide, and there are three or four gaps that were identified. Enhancing IS data use for public health action, continued focus on data quality improvement, and continued publications and presentations for information dissemination. We also need to expand IS functionality to better support immunization programs. And to do this, we've been working with the Public Health Informatics Institute to do an assessment of our functional standards. As I said, those functional standards were developed about 10 years ago, and the time has come, I think, to, now that we've done so well with them, to raise the bar again so that all of you can't say you're 100% on all your functional standards, but there's more work to do. We need to probably improve our reporting vaccinations to the registry from 30 days maybe to 24 hours. We'll see. But things need to change, and we need to add some other functional standards. They may include some other things around vaccine level dose availability, something around vaccine ordering. We'll see. But we also need to work on vaccine inventory management. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, and then interoperability. VTRACS and IAS in the future, multiple efficiencies are gained when ISs are tightly integrated to vaccine ordering and inventory management. To me, it's a question of using all the resources that the immunization program has out there, and we intend to use those assets, and one of those is the capability of doing vaccine ordering and management. ISs will continue to be a valuable tool to increase accountability, to facilitate ordering and inventory functions, and IS and VTRACS need to evolve in a harmonized fashion. We've talked about barcodes, and the time has really come for barcodes to be implemented now. We have a feasibility study underway, and as Melinda said, the Affordable Care Act will have an FOA that has an option for registry involvement with VTRACs, and hopefully we also have a contract to actually look into the implementation of barcodes, too, as a part of the Affordable Care Act. So this is what a future barcode might look like. This sort of not the linear barcode that you see at the grocery store, but these are very modern types of barcodes that are available now. And this particular one comes thanks to Sanofi Pasteur in Canada. As I said, the high-tech program got started in September of 2010. These are the grantees that received those high-tech era 317 monies to enhance interoperability. And we expect to almost double this number with the Affordable Care Act. The interoperability outcomes expected are that we'll have up to more than 2,000 practices with EHRs in 17 states and 3 cities that will receive enhanced interoperability activities. And this enhancement best practices as a result of some of our expert panels will be produced near the end of the 24-month period of performance. Here's an example of from one of our states. I geocoded some of the information that they gave to us. This is Minnesota. We asked them to list all the EHRs or all the practice sites with EHRs that are candidates for enhancement, interoperability enhancement. And so this is Minnesota. These are the EHRs that they identified in their locations geographically, and these are the ones that are going to be enhanced. At least these are preliminary estimates of what's going to be enhanced. One thing these dots don't show you is how big the practices are, and some of these practices are huge. They have a couple hundred thousand patients and so on. So the idea is to get as many children participating in an EHR into enhanced EHRs so that we have a greater proportion of children less than 6 years of age with much better completeness of information and much more interoperable with our registries. Here's another one. This is Oregon and the number of sites that they plan to enhance at this point. Some other high-tech activities that you know about that we're going to continue over the next 24 months and have already started to produce for us. We have an expert panel on interoperability. It's already addressed some transport layer things. We have a clinical decision support panel that's going to talk about harmonizing the business rules and logic for the ACIP schedule vaccines for children. And that's it for me. I also want to thank all of the IS vendors. They are, as Bill Fagy said the other night, altruistic enough to do things without being paid, and they participated in our expert panels and helped support the community for years now. So thanks to them as well. Thank you very much for your time and attention.